Welcome to Double Dodge Nights with your hosts, Andrew the Steely One, Martin the Nice One, and the other guy who never shuts the fuck up, Brexit, Theresa May, Morris Dancing, and more on Double Dodge Nights.
It's a freaking bear.
Welcome to episode 17 of Double Dodge Nights.
Nights.
This one's called the Yevle Goat. And on this episode, we have the Swedish Guild Ball National Champion, Rickard Andersson. We have a nice chat with him about his win and Sweden and arson and fish.
He's a good chat. He's actually the third highest export for the Swedish market in terms of pop sensations. So behind ABBA and obviously Roxette. He's done pretty well for himself.
He is. He's really putting Sweden on the map.
Indeed.
And we've got a special tournament car ball. We played a tournament the other weekend, and yeah, we had to take a car to get there. So yeah.
Naturally, the two things align with each other, and we end up just crapping onto each other and get a bit of a car ball out.
Yes. So we'd like to throw out a special thank you to whoever it was in the Guild Ball Zone Discord server, affectionately known by us as the Guild Ball Zone Wank Dungeon, for calling Carball flaming shit on a stick, which we feel is both accurate and quite endearing. So thank you for that.
Well, I think we nailed it this time too. That was the target, and we got right in the middle. Yeah. Man.
There was some smoke, but there wasn't any fire. But I feel like suddenly, boom, you know, it's incendiary.
Yeah, that was brilliant.
So we got any shout-outs, Cam?
Well, I was going to shout out a few people. I'd like to shout out our good mate, Daryl from Nerdvana Games. I had an awesome game against him in the tournament, which we talk about in the Carball. I was going to mention another person from the US, but I'm not sure if you'd have to, like, if it's a bit offensive to people, so you might have to beat that one out.
Really? Now I'm curious. Who are we talking about?
Our good friend Alex.
Oh, no, don't.
Yeah, sorry. No. Can you hear that?
I could, but I'm very lazy.
Okay, no worries.
Yeah. So, yeah.
How about yourself? Any shout-outs for the Guild Ball?
No, not really. No, just a general fuck you to people who steal our podcast intros, I suppose.
Yeah.
They say imitation is the sincerest form of flattery.
Absolutely.
But I'm still not convinced.
Yeah, and to be fair, I think James Long was a garbage interview as well, so whilst we did try to get him off, I'm not sure he came through with any new, you know, revelations there in the Guild Ball world.
I actually quite enjoyed that interview.
It was
a good episode. But no, for the purpose of this introduction, it was a shit episode.
Yeah. Yeah. Fantastic.
Yep.
So do we get on into it?
Yeah, let's get on into it. We've got our chat with Rickard first, and then the Carball second, and then we'll come back and say goodbye to everybody.
Absolutely.
Let's go.
Do it. So on the line, we've got one Rickard Andersson, the recent winner of the Swedish National Championship. Rickard, how you going, mate?
Well, hello. I'm fine. Thank you.
This is good. This is good. And on the line as well, as always, I have my partner in crime, David.
Hello, Campbell. Hello, Rickard. It's lovely to have you here. We're glad you could join us.
Sure thing.
And so as part of this, we usually throw three questions at you, and that's David's box and dice. So fire away, Dave.
All right, Rickard. This is the quick fire question round. This is a double dodge ritual. The first question is, given your recent win with Fish at the Swedish Nationals, are you HI Fish positive?
it would certainly seem that way, I'd say.
And have you seen a doctor?
Well, what about the fish issue? Sorry, no, I haven't. I've learned to accept my condition. It's You know, there's not much to do, really.
Mate, I'm glad to hear that. I think a strong mental attitude is really important in overcoming a sickness like this. So
yeah, it's quite severe, you know.
Yes. Yeah. No. Full credit to you. Full credit to you. Second question, we like to do a little bit of research on Double Dodge. We like to get a sense of the country, the nationality of the person that we're speaking with. And yeah. I jumped on the internet and I came across a story about a Swedish town called Gävle and a thing called the Gävle goat. Now,
okay, go on.
Have you ever, or do you intend, to burn the Gävle goat at some point?
You know, that's sort of a young man's game, I'd say, and I feel I'm a bit too old for that now.
Right, right. Would you be able to maybe fill the listeners in about the Gävle goat and what it is?
Oh, well, sure. The Gävle goat is like this big straw goat that has been built in the city of Gävle for, I think it's the last 30 or 40 years or something. Around Christmas at every year, and every year someone comes along and burns it down. And you know, it's sort of a competition to who could just sneak in there and set the thing on fire. And the municipality has tried pretty much everything. They have had like fences around it. They have put flame retardant chemicals on the goat, but people still burn it.
And this is no small goat. This thing's about 13 feet tall, right?
Yeah, it's huge. I actually managed to see it one year when I was young, you know, because I spent a lot of time in Gävle at that time. And it's huge. You look up at it, it's like towering. So, well, it's one of those traditions, I suppose.
Yes. Yeah.
Burning the goat.
Well, in Australia, we have a tradition as well. It's called Goon of Fortune. And what you basically do is you get a box of cheap cask wine and you put it on a Hills Hoist clothesline. And then you spin the clothesline and whoever is standing under the goon at the time that it stops has to drink from the goon. So it sounds like we both have maniacs in our respective countries, and that's a nice thing.
Yeah, certainly.
Well, that's lovely. A great answer. Third question. Have you got anything you'd like to say to Alex Botts?
Not really.
You'd be surprised how often we get that answer.
Okay.
Yeah, maybe we need to think about that question a little more.
Well, you know, I must admit that I'm not sure. I don't even recognize the name, so.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's funny, because it does seem to be a pretty typical European response. Alex is yet to spread his legend there, and I'm sure he'll get to it.
Okay, sure. I'll just make a note here that I should look up Alex Botts then.
Please do. Please do. You'll have a great time.
There's a wrestler in there as one of the things you Google, so it's the Alex Botts, not the wrestler.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Well, that concludes the quickfire question round, Rickard. Thank you for playing. Mm-hmm. You've been very patient with us. So we wanted to get you on to talk about, Swedish nationals, but we also like to get a sense of you as a player. Mm-hmm. We can kick this off with you telling us about yourself and how you got into Guildball.
Oh, sure. Well, I have a long history of playing war games, and I have played like Warhammer 40K, and I played War Machine and Hordes earlier, and I played Malifaux for a few years as well. And then came the Guildball Kickstarter, and a few mates of mine asked me if I wanted to join, and I said no, because I didn't really feel it then. And then a few years later, they got back to me, like, you got to try this game, mate. And I did, and I loved it. So I started out as an Alchemist player, actually, and it went horribly back in Season 1. And so I sort of put it on the shelf for a bit. Then I found this shark model, you know, the Kickstarter shark? Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I more or less just fell in love with the model. And I bought it, and then I bought a few more fishermen models as well, and tried playing with them for a while. Oh my god, this is awesome!
Right.
So, and then I started to play with play fishermen for a while, for like 3 months or so. Then I switched towns and I found some new playing mates, and Yeah. From there, it's been kind of a steady going of playing. We had like this big league last year, which I played in, and so I'm sorry, I'm something like that. I haven't been playing Guild Ball for too long. I think it's like, I don't know, 1.5 years or 2 years or something. And yeah, and I'm participating in a few tournaments here in Västerås, and it's gone. Actually, it hasn't gone that well. I'm placed somewhere in the middle to the lower rankings, actually. But that's partly to my... I have this horrible, horrible luck. Yeah, you know, so, well, let me use a small story about the big league we play, because I placed at the bottom of the big league. And that was because, and I kid you not, my shark, he had, like, 24 shots, goal shots during the big league, and he missed, and I kid you not, at least 70% of them.
Were you using the same dice?
Yeah, no, that's the fun part. I actually bought 4 sets of dice. And he still missed pretty much every shot he took.
Right.
So that's sort of what I learned to love, like grayscales and salt, because they actually managed to land the shots.
Do you not think this could be some kind of curse after burning down the Yevle goat? I mean, I know you're denying it, but I think you possibly are cursed.
I can't possibly comment on that, can I?
Well played. Actually, we have on a tangent. I remember David and I both played a bit of War Machine, and there was a tournament where someone, and obviously you're familiar with this, someone made, I think it was in the proximity of 30 tough checks in a row, and it even got to the point where he was taking the dice of his opponent, because the opponent couldn't believe how many times he's rolled a 5 or a 6, and he borrowed their dice and kept doing it. So yeah, no, it's real. The curse is real.
Yeah, exactly. Well, so I think that is, it's kind of funny because I haven't changed my style of playing that much since the big league to the nationals, honestly. And I think that the thing that happened during the nationals was that, well, the plans I made actually worked and the dice didn't fail me.
Nice. So, Yeah, you rolled better.
I rolled a lot better because, I mean, another story from the big league, because, well, that's my biggest part of my playing experience, is that there was this one time when I needed, I think it was Shark, he needed to make a one-inch dodge on a charge in order to, you know, get into position and shoot at the goal. And I rolled it, and I did it. And this was on, I think he needed one hit.
Yeah.
On plus, and he failed.
Sounds like that rolling coach you got in to help you before the nationals helped. You know, whether it's just better wrist action or rolling technique. I don't know.
It's all in the wrist.
It is.
Yeah, it is.
Did you change hands? Did you change hands? Just went for the left hand instead.
Yeah, I did actually.
Well, that's good. That's good. You know, you got to switch it up a bit.
Sometimes you go for the two-hand throw, you know.
Nice. Hey, whatever floats your boat, that's fine.
Mm.
No judgment here. This is a judgment-free zone.
Of course.
Yeah. What's the Swedish meta like? What does it look like? You know.
Well, it's kind of Sweden is kind of a spread out country, and I think the different communities is the competitive scene is quite small, because there's, well, the Guild Ball is growing as a game, it is, but at the moment we're like not that many people who are playing at a competitive level, but I think we're like 20 to 30 people. That go to big tournaments and play and so on, but then again, I, as always with Swedes that play war games, they tend to be kind of insular. They keep to themselves.
Yeah, and it's not just Swedes, mate.
Yeah, well, I only know Sweden, mate. So well, but now there's a bit sort of, well, Västerås is kind of a big group who are playing, and we got some pretty solid players. who, well, play on a regular basis. And then there's in Gothenburg and during the Western Shoreline, mm-hmm. well, coast. There's a few players there as well. And I'd say that there's quite of a good spread across the guilds. There's a certain tilt towards fishermen and alchemists at the moment, but also towards the union. And there's a few brewers in there as well. But there, you can see that there's a kind of a... The footballing guilds are sort of dominating at the moment.
Mm. Yeah. So are there any engineers? Because they fit into that category as well.
Yeah, sure. I think there was one engineer at the Nationals.
Okay.
And there's a lot of... I know that I think four of my regular playing mates are... They got... engineers on the shelf, and that they're sort of thinking about getting into engineers now because they're all falling in love with Locus and the other bots.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it's great. Yeah, the Mechanica models are, well, purely from aesthetic point of view, they're fantastic, but they also play pretty well too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah,
fucking reanimate, I tell you. It just doesn't feel fair. I mean, that's pretty consistent with a lot of other places as well. Fish and alchemists and union as the really popular choices. So I guess that kind of leads really nicely into the actual tournament. So you took fish to the tournament itself.
Yeah, and I did.
So was it just because you know that's the guild that you love? That's the one that you know that speaks to you the strongest?
Well, I got the most experience with fishermen, of course. But since the recent changes in the Alchemist Guild, I thought about playing Alchemists, but then in the end I just went for Fishermen. So I got Fishermen, Alchemists, Morticians, Butchers, and a bunch of Union. So, well, I stuck with what I knew, basically, and that's Sharkfish.
Sharkfish. So you you want to be the pro?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Well, I'd rather do the hunting.
Indeed. I've seen a variation on sharkfish, like kill team shark, where you take shark and kraken and vet siren, basically just beat the shit out of people and score a couple of goals. And it's a nice variation. Seems to be working all right. Or maybe it was because I was playing hunters into it. I don't know.
Probably. It's that lack of armor, you know.
Yeah, it does hurt.
Mm.
Yeah, so how'd the tournament go?
Well, actually, my first match was against Skatha Hunters, and I think that match went quite well, honestly. It was kind of quite a fight, but in the end, I was able to pull one flank open, so I had more or less a clear shot at the goal with, like, two models. So that match was kind of... I think we ended it at 20 minutes... I think I had 20 minutes left or something. And Salt scored two goals.
Love it. Yeah. One of our mates here is going to love that. He's a big Salt fan. He plays six Salts if he could. So, Heath, that one's for you, buddy.
Pretty much.
Permanent tap in on your mascot. That seems pretty damn good.
Yeah, it is. It's awesome. I think that across the matches that I played, I think that my opponents were kind of too defensive, and that was in this first match as well, because he actually said, I heard him mumbling say that he said, okay, so if I shoot the goal, then he will get a snap back, and so he just held the ball, which went, okay, then I'll just go steal the ball and make some goals. So I think that was one problem. The second match was against Smoke Alchemists, and it went for a bit longer. I think it was like 10 minutes left or something. And I thought I actually thought I was going to lose that, because he was a bit like smoke and there was conditions everywhere as it is, and Vetcat was just picking off players left and right. But then I managed to get the ball. I scored a goal with grayscales, and then he tried to kill the ball with smoke, and I managed to charge her with Sakana and then pass grayscales for a snapshot and what. So I made 8 points in 4 minutes. I kid you not.
Wow. Nice.
Yeah, and so it was kind of and this is sort of what I was talking about earlier. Like, I tend to play aggressive with high risk. So if it pays off, it pays off a lot in huge dividends. But if you fail, then you're out of position. You die, basically.
Can I stop you for a sec? Can you just tell us what your 10 was? did you have 10 models in the lineup? Yeah, can you tell us what the 10 were, just so we can get a bit of an idea there?
Yeah, sure.
So obviously Shark.
Yeah, well, Shark, Tentacles, Salt, Grayscales, Hag, Jack, Sakana, Siren, Vet Siren, and Snakeskin.
Okay, nice. Snakeskin.
Yeah.
I like it.
Yeah, I played her in every game.
Secret Swedish tech.
What was the application, just to hold the ball against Alchemist teams?
Well, the thing with Snakeskin is that she's very mobile. She can, and I had already fixed my mind up that I was going to go for the 3-0 strategy in pretty much every game, because I have never really managed to get my killing game with Fish on. So, and then I saw that, like, Snakeskin, she's a very mobile model. She's got some pretty good defensive tech. And she got low tackles and low momentous tackles as well. Mm-hmm. And she's a very reliable dodge model with momentous dodge on one hit. So I knew that I would be able to get her out of scrapes. I knew she would be able to generate momentum for me in case I needed it. And also in case if I needed it, she could be a goal threat as well. So that's basically why I picked her. I think she works really well in Sharkfish.
Nice. I like that.
That's interesting. That's something that I've certainly not come across before, but... No, I like your reasoning.
So, well, I really liked her, and I think I will keep her in my 10 for the time being as well. Well, at least.
Do you have a solid 6 that you like? I mean, obviously you've just alluded to her being one of the ones you played all day. Is there a 6 that you just prefer because they, you know, they have that goal scoring ability?
Yeah, well, I usually end up with Shark, Salt, obviously. And then Snakeskin has become a staple. And then I usually run Grayscales and Sakana, although I've heard that that's sort of odd. And then the last slot is sort of open, but it usually ends up with Siren.
One of the Sirens,
Osiren.
Osiren,
yeah. In order to, you know, get the ball from cages and such. Oh,
that's a really solid lineup. I like that.
Yeah, getting the ball back or even getting the lure off is good.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, just really useful. Round 3?
Yeah, round 3. Oh, God, that game was a nightmare. it was... actually, I played one of my regular mates in game 3, and I had never won against him before.
Get out.
Yeah, we have played like 8 games or 10 games or something like that, and he has all won each and every one of them. And he's very fond of the mosh pit grind game, and I prefer the quick, you know, run pass, tackle pass, make goals game. So we're sort of on polar opposites. And he played very defensively, and he just kept pushing me into this big grind. Well, and he didn't actually score that many takeouts, but he knew... It just kept me in place, denied the ball, and it took some very heavy-duty thinking and tackling and passing in order to get the ball out and score some goals.
Right. So what was he playing?
He was playing Union, Blackheart Union. And I'm grateful that he played Blackheart Union, because if he had played Vet Rage instead... Then he would have won, basically.
You just think that the overwhelming damage that Rage can put out shuts your game down too hard or something?
Well, sort of. Then he's very good at, you know, denying lanes, and he's very good at pushing people into the scrum, and then he's good at keeping Vet Rage open for his furious charge. And so I'm pretty used to that. Vet Rage gets at least one takeout per turn, and often he gets maybe 2 if he activates late. Yeah. So he tends to, you know, run, and he's very good at killing the ball as well. So it's about the damage output, basically. Some well-judged recklessness made it possible to win the game.
So what happened? What did you do?
Well, first of all, I charged. The first 2 goals were pretty straightforward. Shark made his thing for the first goal, then Sakana managed to get the ball, start in cover, run 10 inches and score a goal. And then the last goal, I was sort of down to like 6 minutes left of game time. So then I basically just sacrificed Shark by charging him straight into the mosh pit to get the ball out, make an more or less impossible pass just to get the ball out into the open to Snakeskin, who then shadow-liked out... passed Sakana for a snapshot who missed the goal. Then he sort of, but then I had like three more models who, well, threatened the goal, so he couldn't shut me down completely. But it could have gone really badly. But then again, he was sort of killing me with time, basically, because I was one or two activations from, well, losing on time when I won the game.
Yeah, I mean, it says a lot about the Shark pressure game, doesn't it? Like, once you get those 8 points on,
yeah,
you've got to find that last one. And that's where the real game starts, at least in my experience. You know,
yeah, it does.
To get to that third goal. But my God, the pressure that you put on from 8 points. You know, it means things like that, those crazy plays, just they work out, they win games for you. Yeah.
And just for the, since you had a salt fan out there, I can just tell you that the last goal in that game was scored by salt as well.
Ah, oh, glorious. This just keeps getting better and better.
Man, I can't wait for when salt is a captain.
Veteran salt.
Yep.
Nice.
The
We're going to make this happen.
So I bet, is that one of those games that is going to stick with you for a while? You know, you have these games where they just sort of...
Yeah, I would say so, because it was really frustrating. Because he wasn't really killing me, and he wasn't killing my players, and he wasn't scoring any goals. So, and it was just seeing the time fade away, and I thought, okay, so soon somebody's going to kill me with time, and that's so frustrating.
Yeah, it's a metaphor for existence.
Yeah, exactly. And well, at this point in the tournament, I didn't really realize that I had won 3 games, so that I was going to enter the finals. So towards the end of the game, one of my friends came up to me and said, you know that you're playing for the finals now. And I went like, what? Are you kidding me? So I was so focused on the game that I didn't really notice that everything else died out around me. And apparently me and Matthias was the only two we were contending for the finals basically. So then I just sort of thought that, okay, I got to win this. So and I managed to.
So final game, what did you play against?
Esther's Brewers, guy called Peter Harty. And well, when I heard that I was going to play Brewers, I felt kind of relaxed because I have a pretty good record against Brewers on average. Mm-hmm. They tend to be tricky, but you know, if you play fast fish, then you tend to get around them. That felt kind of comfortable, but I knew that I was in for a challenge because this guy had obviously won his previous games against players, and I knew that he had played a few of my friends, which are the guys that I usually think, okay, if I get to face this player, then I'm in for one hell of a fight. I felt comfortable but wary.
That's how I basically feel when I leave the house every day.
I see.
Yeah, you don't want to get too relaxed, right? You don't want to get too relaxed.
Comfortable, that's right. Wary. Yeah. You do live in the ghetto, though. I mean, really.
I do.
It's dangerous.
It's a bad part of town. Where do I live? I actually live in the most middle-class place in, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
It's just ridiculous. Okay,
I see.
Yeah.
Yeah, sure.
But I guess Shark is, like you say, like really fast kind of game style versus Brewers, who can be a bit slow and trundling and really suffer under his legendary.
The thing that went my way in this game was that I was able to pull his team apart on the pitch. So he had like Esters in the middle, and I had Mash far back, and he had Hooper way out on the flank because, well, I managed to pull my pieces apart as well, but I got the speed to compensate for it, and I think that was one of the things that made me manage to win the game. Right. So I think it ended 12-4 or something like that. Yeah.
Well, he got a couple of takeouts.
Yeah, exactly. I think he killed Grayscales. Hooper smashed Grayscales into the ground. And then after Grayscales had run around on fire for a few turns. then he took out Shark in the second to last turn with Esters,
right.
and then I managed to get the initiative and score the final goal with Sakana.
So was it another one of those games where you hit your first goal, you hit your second goal, and then you legendary and then hit your second goal at the start of the second turn? Did it play out in that sort of stereotypical fashion, or how did the game roll out?
Let's see. Well,
you can make it up, mate. Like, it doesn't have to be accurate.
No. I don't mix it. I think I actually legendaried on the first turn with Shark, because I think I'm, as he position his pieces, then he made it possible for me to get a shark charge and on the third activation, okay, or something like that. Okay. So nice. It was the second activation. It was really, really early in the first turn. So I charged in, managed to get the goal. Well, ran the length out. Then I I popped my legendary. So all his pieces were basically locked into place. And then I jumped away. And then I was able to position my pieces in order to compensate for his goal kick. So it was atypical in that fashion, but still.
Basic game plan adhered to.
Yeah. Mm.
Oh, shark.
It sounds like you sharked all over him.
I did.
DNA went everywhere. No, I like that. So you mentioned that the Brewers matchup is one that you like, and I completely agree with that. What, from a shark player's point of view, what matchups don't you like or do you find more challenging?
Well, mirror matchups against shark is horrifying.
Wow. Like, yeah. I give zero fucks about shark versus shark. I'm sorry, but
really?
You can both just beat each other up and like gun string each other. I really don't care.
Yeah, well, maybe it's that I haven't played that matchups that much actually, but I think the real aggressive ball on ball is usually it's who gets the first goal.
Yes, yeah, that's exactly.
And then you sort of like try to, then it's basically a trading game. And trying to deny that third goal, basically.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And otherwise, I want to say engineers, but that's basically just my season one experience with engineers that's still haunting me.
They're quite different now.
Yeah, exactly. Because but otherwise, I would say
no one. Sounds like no one.
Yeah. Well, actually, the times when I have the dice with me. Then it's basically no one, and otherwise it's everyone.
This is interesting because I think shark came into prevalence season 3 when Obulus took a little bit of a hit and people stopped playing him, and one of the big counters to shark was Obulus. Do you have many of those mortician players around?
Yeah, well, we only have two in the Westeros meta.
Okay.
And one of them is one of these. Okay, so everybody plays Obulus, so I'm going to play Scaffold just because. I had a few negative, not negative experiences, but a few times when I've been gone up against Obulus and had my ass handed to me. But sure.
Yeah, he gets it done. He can shut that.
Yeah, exactly. So, and then this guy is also very good at executing the whole shutout casket play. So he shuts out one of your players, and then he bullies it for the entire turn, and then the casket comes in into the box.
Yeah.
Slam.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I don't see much casket when I play into Obulus anymore, but it's a shame because
is that a case of Kossa getting better?
Yeah, maybe it is. Yeah, Kossa is very good now.
Yeah, I don't know. That's just, I've never played them, so that's just speculation. Yeah. Complete speculation.
Yeah. I look at morticians sometimes. I've just come off the back of playing hunters sort of 30 games straight, and I'm going to play something else now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I like Skartha, but
I think Theron is he lacks something.
I was going to say that exact same thing. Yeah, he's just there's something a little bit more he needs, and then he's absolute money.
I want him to get Momentous Inspiration or 2-inch melee. That would make me happy. Or both.
And tooled up.
Tooled up, yeah. They
well, actually, he doesn't need tooled up. He just needs Momentous, 3 damage somewhere.
That would work too. So do you play any other teams, Rickard? Like you mentioned Alchemists. Do you play any?
Yeah, well, I was thinking about playing Butchers for the summer, actually.
Sounds like a great idea.
Just to get the... now I've been just focused on the game, of the bowling game. So I thought about, exploring the killing game a bit.
Yes.
And then Butchers is one of the ways to go. But, I'm not really decided. But I think I just spent the day putting Veteran Ox together, so...
Yeah, he's a great model. He's a really handsome-looking thing. Fillet or ox, Butchers, do you think?
The general consensus is that ox is crap. So I'm going to play. I think I will try him for a few matches, or for a match or two at least, and then go Fillet. Because she's the stronger, she's the more aggressive, the more aggressive captain, I think.
She's a good striker too, so she might give you a nice hybrid style.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly. And I think that I don't really do well with defensive teams because I'm a really aggressive player overall. So I think I need to have a captain or a team that, you know, plays into that mentality.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know. I think like season 3 in particular tends to reward an aggressive style. Mm-hmm. You know, it wants a forward momentum. And I think like competitive play as well rewards that faster, very aggressive approach to the game. You know, like you talk about your clock disappearing. Well, if you can win a game in 12 minutes, between 12 and 20 minutes, you're home.
Well, yeah, that reminds me of this. There was this small tournament at the end of April, which I played in. And I played against one of my regular Alchemist players, and he managed to win the game in 8 activations.
Oh. That's disgusting.
Nice.
Yeah.
That was horrible.
Yeah. We've all been there, man. We've all been on the receiving end of that once or twice.
Yeah, and the fun thing is that the game ended 12-8.
Still. Oh, brilliant. Yeah. Goal, snapback, goal.
Pretty much.
I love that. I love one of those games that does actually go down to, you know, just 5 goals straight up in a row. You play maybe an hour of posturing for position, and then there's a point at which you both just start getting snapped. It's just like, go. Yeah, they're some of the most fun games to play.
Yeah, I think Campbell falls in your camp. He came to the game through football, the football style, like playing fish, and I started with Mortician, so I have a more controlled beat style.
I like winning in 8 activations too. It's fantastic.
Yeah, I guess you filthy fish players can go fuck yourself or something.
Yeah.
Now you sound just like the guys. You know, one of my mates just went up to me when I had won the nationals and said, you know, you got some bragging rights, but you don't really have any bragging rights because you played fish.
Yeah. No, I completely agree with that.
Thank you for diminishing my achievements. I appreciate that.
Did you turn around and say, I'll just send you a postcard from Chicago at that point?
No, really.
That's awesome. I mean, he's got a point. You have to know.
Fish are very strong in the current.
They are very strong
in the current season.
What I find surprising, and I wouldn't mind asking you about this, your lineup doesn't have Corsair. Do you play him much at all, or do you? Because he, even having him in your lineup, irrespective of whether you use him or not, I think is a pretty strong pick and influences the other team's pick. Do you just not like him, or what's the go there?
I haven't had a good experience with him, to be honest.
Did he touch you in a bad place?
Well, yeah, he you know, I was trying him out, but he couldn't keep up the pace, you know.
Okay, well, fair enough. So, hey.
Well, but then again, I think I just need some more experience with him because I've only played him for like 5 games, 4 games, something like that. But the thing that strikes me with him is that he's sort of ponderous. He just rolls up the pitch with his crew and kills people. And
yeah,
it doesn't really. I think it's his playstyle is too slow for me.
Yeah, it is a pretty slow and potentially negative kind of playstyle, and quite a polar opposite to Shark. And that can be a positive, but also, yeah, from a player's point of view, if you were used to, that high-scoring game, I can see that as... And we've got guys in our meta, I reckon Ellie's one of them, who just does not like playing Corsair because it's all about the scoring and having fun.
Yeah, well, I think fish players need Corsair to a certain degree because if you go up against, engineers or, morticians and perhaps even butchers... Then you sort of need to have that resilience and that control element more to a greater degree. And it's Shark can suffer a bit from, the control, basically.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I need some more experience with Corsair, but I think I will keep sharking along, so to speak.
Yeah. I played Corsair for a month or so, and I found the same thing. You know, he's got a very kind of central, predictable game style, which is generally about dragging a guy in, beating a guy to death, you know, rinse, repeat until it's time to, like, you know, if a goal's available, you take the goal shot.
To be fair, you beat the fuck out of most people you played in that time period too.
Corsair's really strong. It's a strong captain, no question.
It's a long time period game. So if you're worried about your clock, Corsair's probably not the captain for you.
Also, it just got a bit dull. You're just sitting in the middle of the board, dragging guys in, beating them to death, and shooting goals occasionally. And it's not much fun for your opponent either. That was because I was only playing it casually. I didn't really enjoy it.
Neither
did I.
I play Blackheart Union mainly, so I kind of like that slippery, dodgy sort of style of game where you're pinging around quite a lot.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I can imagine that. Actually, if I was going to go Union, then I would probably go for Blackheart because he's slow but so still mobile.
He's a little bit like Shark because I went basically Fish then Union. Yeah, he's a little bit like Shark, and it was interesting you mentioning before that you were happy that you didn't have to face Vet Rage, because I actually, and this is just my opinion, I think Blackheart is a pretty solid pick into Shark, purely because you can Legendary and Gut and String Blackheart, and I've still seen him, and we've seen this, like, you know, by a local guy. Mm-hmm. He travelled half the board and scored a goal with no movement stat, like just with the dodges and... All my marks, Shadow Light, all the bits and pieces, and he just basically travelled, scored a goal, and he was he had zero movement. So it's just interesting hearing you say that, you know, Rage, you fear more, I guess, into that matchup.
Yeah, well, I think that the thing is that I knew that it's sort of like because I knew the player, I know I know what kind of game he prefers and usually goes for.
Okay.
So I meant that he didn't have, when I saw that he played Blackheart, I thought, okay, so he won't go for the straight up cut your throat off and win play, but he sort of did that anyways, although he didn't really have the tools for it,
but not fast enough, because he was playing Blackheart. Okay,
yeah, exactly. So in that regard, I think it was well, lucky for me.
Better lucky than good is my motto.
Yeah, well, you know,
I am not denigrating your achievements in any way, just basically a dig.
Yeah. Okay. I think there is always a point at which, you know, there's a certain component of luck that comes into it, and it's not like whether you were, you know, you're undeserving of it, but it is a dice game, and there are sometimes where you play odds that are maybe less than what you'd like, and things go your way. And I know this from CanCon, where I looked retrospectively at a couple of the interactions I had, and I thought, actually, I was probably rolling like a 30% at that point, but it was the best play at that point. It came off, and then from there, you know, making that one roll, it snowballs and go, oh, okay, so the next play is about a 70%. Okay, well, I will go for that now that I've got that first tackle, you know, where I'm tackling, you know, a model that's 4-1 or whatever. Yeah, so...
You see it in the converse as well. Like, if you... Just say you're up, like, +3 on initiative, and you lose that, and you've got maybe either 4 or 6-point play on the table that you can't take and is then shut down, you know, it snowballs against you in the same way that it can go for you when you take a lower percentage opportunity.
Dave, are you talking about our last game?
No, actually, I'm talking about a game I played earlier today against Tobias. And,
Oh, really?
Sadness.
Did you lose to Tobias?
Yeah.
Get out. I thought I was the only one that lost to Tobias.
No, Tobias,
he tells me every time. Yeah.
Well, so who is this person, then?
So Tobias is a friend of ours. He lives in Queensland. In Northern Australia, and he's a really good engineers player. I think his claim to fame is that he won the very first Season 3 tournament at SteamCon last year, and he played in the LCQ there as well. So he has got good game. We're lucky in the sense that, like, we play a lot on Vassal as well, so we play a lot of Divs across the world. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, that's nice.
You're a bit sick of Fish, are you?
Nah, not really. But you know,
he's hates our Fish.
I sort of feel like I need to, you know, switch it up to not grow stale. I think.
Yeah.
You know, because you get set in your ways, and so forth and so on. I will be playing Fish on the major tournaments that's coming up, but I will, you know, the casual play would be pretty much, well, I think I would stick to Butchers or Alchemist. But
Have you had a look at Farmers yet?
Yeah, I think they look really interesting. Man. And unfortunately, I think that everyone will start playing Farmers. And yes. While I think that a tournament with only Farmers would probably be kind of fun, I think that you need to add some variety to it. So I think I will pick up Farmers eventually, but not right away. But I think their playstyle is very interesting, and the whole setup with the harvest markers and cashing them in and so forth.
Yeah, played a few games on Vassal, and the first game I had no idea what I was walking into, and I just got threshed. It was just, it was brutal.
Mm-hmm.
That guy, 6 influence, 3-inch melee, perfect mm-hmm. setup. He's just going to wreck face. You know,
almost auto sighting blow, and it's just gross. He just kills everything.
Yeah. Seems kind of brutal, but then you got this, what is called Taters, mm. who seems to be quite horrible as well.
Mm.
I think, isn't he the one that got like you always get +3 damage when you charge or something like that?
Yeah, he just wrecks your world. He just comes in and blows your world up, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
Interesting kind of. I like the puzzle that they present you. I mean, there's some models that are obviously quite high powered based on, you know, simple playbook results that you can see and that kind of thing, but I also mm-hmm. like the models like Jack Straw, where it's a bit of a puzzle you got to solve to get them around the table with the harvest markers, and if you can get that kind of humming, their threat mm-hmm. range is insane, but their static stats just look terrible. And I reckon why I play the game, and the reason I would pick up Farmers would be to basically unlock that kind of mm-hmm. interaction.
Mm. Yeah. Okay, I agree. I think that will be interesting.
Or just killing people with the donkey. That's also good.
Yeah, which is awesome in its own right. Right?
That donkey is amazing. That donkey is as good as a player, hands down.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
It's incredible. I actually quite like Millstone and her ability to soak conditions. Because I think she's a great sort of counterpiece into teams like Hunters or Alchemists. Yeah,
and her playbook is just awesome anyway. Just momentous damage all over.
She's good. But I don't look at that team and see a single player that I don't like.
Mm.
You know, they seem like they've got great application, just every single one of them.
Well, I see plenty of players. I think that if I see them on the board, then I will, as an opponent, will go, oh shit. You know, if I was playing them, then they're all good.
Yeah, it's nice. They've done a really good job designing that team. Blacksmiths look interesting as well.
I think they present an interesting challenge to Fish players.
Yeah,
because you know, that high armor can really wreck a Fish day.
That's a fair point.
What's the great thing about armor? It shuts down certain parts of the playbook.
Yeah, well, have you ever had Wrecker stand next to Osiren?
I have not, because I don't play Mason's Aura. No,
it basically means she's stuck there.
That's awesome.
Yeah, because she...
Because I'm not a fan of her anyway, so that's fine.
Okay. Well, so, basically, Rector got like, +2/+3 armor or something, and she got attack 3, so she's basically stuck there.
Yeah,
she
can't
dodge away.
That's pretty good. My closest experience is Corsair, Dreadgaze, and a whole bunch of crowd outs. You know, you're at turn one. Just thanks mm-hmm. for coming.
Mm-hmm.
It's gross. Talk about a negative play experience.
Yeah, well, you know, that's why the ball game is so important, because if you have all those crowd outs, then you can still, you know, if you manage to get hold of the ball, or if you crowd it out and while having the ball, you can always bonus time up to 2 dice and get the ball away. Yeah. And push the ball away, but you know, if you're going to fight it, you're gone basically.
having played those Hunters games as well, it does bring home the importance of at least getting 2 goals in a game. Not only because you get the scoring benefit, you know, you're moving towards the final win condition, but the extra influence is huge.
Yeah, it is.
You go from a team with like 11 influence to 12 or 13. You know, it's a much different proposition.
Well, and you kind of have I have a set, and most teams are like this, you have a set amount of influence you want to put on certain models, And when you free up, say, two extra influence, all of a sudden, you know, your mascot or something that you don't usually do, it just frees up other options in that regard. Like I chucked a couple on Mother the other night and you know, got Mother doing things. Like it just adds that extra kind of dimension to the game. Hmm. Sorry, that's all I've got there.
No, well, I agree. I think that, you know, I usually in my lineups, I tend to go for at least 12 influence. So I usually don't take Kraken for that very reason, because first off, he tends to be a big momentum battery for the enemy. And also he doesn't contribute that much. Well, only one influence, which sort of pulls him, disqualifies him. But then it's something with when you get that first goal, then when you're on 14 influence, then you sort of get more options. You can sort of load up two wingers to get the ball back or to farm momentum or something. And then when you get to 15, well, then you're sort of set.
Absolutely.
Yeah, you're throwing up middle fingers to the world at that point.
Yeah,
it's an interesting question about the farmers, isn't it? With the whole harvest and how, I mean, I haven't played them yet. The interaction it gives by, you know, throwing out a whole bunch of the harvest tokens and then coming in with, you know, a 17 influence kind of side turn two, and what that does for a snowball kind of effect in terms of momentum at that point. Because, you know, mm-hmm. you try to translate those 17, you might get to 15, you might mm-hmm. use five of those defensively. You're still on 10 momentum. Like, imagine that. Sorry, I'm just being sick here.
Yeah. I can hear the rustling of your zipper.
Yeah, well, I just threw up in my mouth and I had to swallow it.
Oh, okay, is that what it was? Uh-huh. Well, that's good. And so you're looking forward to Worlds now that you've qualified?
Yeah, it will be, at the very least, it would be interesting to go up against the most seasoned players there are. So
you're not nervous about going to Trump's America at all, are you?
Well, I'm sure I will be able to deal with it.
Just don't make any sudden movements at the airport. You'll be fine.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, make sure that you just play along and do what they ask you to, even if it's not too uncomfortable.
Oh, something. You know, yeah. You might enjoy it. You never know.
Have you been to the US before, or is this your first time over?
I haven't, actually. So it's the first time. Guess I'll get to see it for the first time now. And I don't really know what to expect.
Do you think you'll make a holiday of it, like spend a few weeks there and head around?
Well, I can't with my work. It's impossible. I will probably just go there for the minimum amount of days and go back home.
Still, the short time that you'll be there, I mean, that's kind of amazing as well. Such a great prize to win nationals.
Yeah, like, exactly. Yeah, I'm still pretty surprised that I walked away with it, because I went to the nationals to, you know, play interesting games, have fun, and see how far I would go. Mm. And apparently, I went all the way.
Yeah. Tiebreak says yes.
You should put that on your Tinder profile.
What?
That you went all the way.
Yeah, exactly. I went all the way.
Prepared to do it again.
Exactly. You know, I don't. I will do what it takes.
Something about balls and goals. I don't.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know.
You know, balling fast and balling hard.
Right. Everybody's going to be swiping right at that point. Yeah. I saw a great video on the internet of somebody who had rigged a fidget spinner to basically swipe right for him on Tinder. So he was like swiping right at a rate of knots, just like. Very efficient.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, playing the odds, I guess.
It's like you're really less at that point, isn't it?
It really. Well, I think it's a lot like anyway. Ricard's approach to Guild Ball. Fast, aggressive, get right in
Lots
there, get the
balls.
Goods, get out,
yeah.
Go to America, do it there.
Yeah.
I'm just talking shit at this point. But that's the magic of editing. Do you have any closing thoughts, Ricard?
Well, depends. Is there something you want me to comment on?
No.
Well, I do have a question in regards to your favourite Swedish band. I'm a big fan of Roxette. I just want to know if you are.
Rockstar. Oh my god, that's nostalgia for me.
Oh, see, we're gonna have a moment here, I believe. I don't know. So your favorite Rockstar song? Can you just start singing it for us, or?
No, my singing voice is, I don't want to break any eardrums.
Yeah, that's okay.
Yeah, no is the right answer.
It will be interesting to go to the World Series to see
how. Absolutely.
And hopefully I will get some really interesting games, and I will I hope to do well, of course. And I will certainly too spend all of the summer and fall practicing.
Do you jump on Vassal? Because if you do, hit us up for a game. Dave's always on there. I'm on there periodically. Definitely, because it'd be good to play a game.
Yeah, sure. I'll certainly look that up. See if I haven't played anything on Vassal actually.
Mm.
Yeah, it's good. It's a great community. Lots of really good players as well, like world class players.
All right. Well, yeah. Then it would certainly make for good practice, at least.
It's definitely a good place to practice, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
I will look it up, then.
You should, mate. You should. It'll be the one of the most mixed blessings you ever receive.
Oh, yeah. The best kind of blessing.
Yeah.
you'll have to burn a goat or something in gratitude. I hear it's how you do it.
Yeah, exactly. I will buy a doll. I have to. And burn that, you know, as a sacrifice to the Guild Ball gods, I suppose.
Indeed. So I read something else about Sweden, and that was that at Easter time, kids dress up and go trick-or-treating.
Pretty much.
Is that right? How does that work? Like, why do they do it at Easter?
Well, it's sort of a... We got this... well, I'm not sure how it got started, actually. It's just that you dress up as small witches, and then they go... You go... trick-or-treating for candy, pretty much as you do on Halloween, only that we have been doing it during Easter for far longer. And it's something to do with witchcraft and that the witches were traveling to, I can't remember the name, some place where witches converge and do weird witchy things.
Mm.
And, something
it's
like
called,
that.
It's called Hogwarts.
Yeah, exactly, of course, they go to Hogwarts, all of them.
You're too polite, Rickard. You are a very polite individual. No, that was really interesting. Lots of different things about Sweden that I learned. It seems like a cool place.
Yeah, well, it is. Certainly is. Especially, well, during the summer. During the winter, it's basically just cold and wet.
Right. And you have, like, kind of 3:30 a.m. kind of sunrises. Is that right? Like during summer?
During the summer it's something like 5-ish or 4:30. It depends on where in the country you live, because I live in the middle of the country, so it's somewhere around 5, I think. And if you're up in Norrland, in the northern part, then the sun doesn't even drop beneath the horizon. Then you got what we call midnight sun.
Sounds great.
Sounds bad.
I think if you were like looking to go crazy, that would be the way to do it.
Actually, yeah, there's quite a few books and movies about people going crazy in Norrland.
Awesome.
Nice.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to call the travel agent.
Say, oh, I want to go to Kalix, or I want to go to Haparanda. Okay, so, and then they will go like, why?
Because I want to go crazy and kill some people. I don't know.
Lose what is left of my sanity.
Well, you got to have goals, you know.
Indeed. Three, ideally, in quick succession.
Yeah, exactly.
One after the other. Yeah. Well, thank you for your time. That was a lovely chat. It's really nice to meet you. And
thanks for having me.
No, anytime.
You're a legend.
Very welcome. And obviously, best of luck when you get over there. I'm sure you will make your nation proud.
Well, certainly hope so. I will undoubtedly do my best. And,
Excellent. And hit us up if you want a game. That'd be awesome, man. I'd love to
play. Yeah, sure. I'll have to look into this Vassal thing, then.
Thank you for your time. We would welcome you back to this humble podcast anytime you care to come on.
Well, thank you. Right.
Take it easy.
Good morning.
Morning.
Another early start.
Nice, nice. We've got Tournament Kabul.
Yes, Kabul, the segment that has been referred to as flaming shit on a stick.
Yes, and I, to be honest, I think that's quite positive. I take that as a compliment.
I think that's what we're going for.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. I mean, if anyone thought that we were doing anything else in the car, yeah, sorely mistaken.
Yeah, right. So...
You keen for the day?
Yeah, I'm keen. I was going to play Hunters, but then I looked in my bag and all my Union shit was in there already, and I just couldn't be fucked taking it out.
Ah, sounds like a similar problem I had.
I've been really busy, so, you know, get up, have breakfast, look in my bag. Okay, that'll do.
That'll do, we'll play those. Yep. I like it. I've got two packed, because I had them sitting out. I'm not even at my house at the moment. We've got renovations going on. So the only two I had packed are my Alkies and my NGs. And I reckon I'm going to be... I've had a think about it. I reckon I'll be playing a bit of smoke action. I want to get a bit of practice up with her. So I'll do the filthy Alkies like the bad person that I am.
Good on you, mate.
Yeah. You know.
Don't make it hard for yourself.
No. but, you know, bit of smoke action. I figure... coming into nationals, I'd need to get more practice, and four games today. I might not play on all of them, but I'll definitely rock her out early. And
it's gonna be four rounds.
We think if there's 12 people, yeah.
Sweet.
Unless there's a pair down loss on round three or however it works, yeah. Get an odd number.
Okay. All right.
But it's gonna be epic, mate.
I haven't been playing much Guild Ball this week.
Boo.
Jared beat me 12-2, and I was like, fuck, I need a break from this.
Is that Jared's Morts?
Yeah, he was playing Scalpel.
Ah, I haven't faced that. He's thrown the Ovulus at me a couple of times.
Fucking Jared, man. That guy is like, he's getting very, very good.
Yeah, he's got issues, I think. He just plays it too much.
No, that's it, man. Guild Ball is life.
Yeah.
Guild Ball is life. Now that Jordan's abdicated the throne.
Yeah, what's the go there? I heard a rumour there that Jordan married a mobster's wife and now he's got a hit on him. What's the... any truth?
I can confirm that Alex is not actually a mobster's wife.
Okay. Brilliant. Brilliant. Yeah, so I heard that rumour, but who knows? It could just be
a
double fake coming into the WTC, so who knows?
Oh, jeez, yeah.
That could just psych everyone out.
I will miss Jordan if he is not part of the competitive scene.
Absolutely.
He's a nice dude. I like him a lot.
And to be honest, you want to beat the best. I mean, that's what we've always talked about. That's what Jared's always talked about. It's like, you know, you don't want to win a tournament because someone else isn't there.
Yes.
You want to win it because you've beaten the best player. So,
I mean, I really do feel like it's Alex's time to shine, though.
Yes, yes.
Like, if not now, when?
Yeah. Well, do you think Pat is just going to... submarine him, because Pat's on fire. At the
Pat's
moment.
He's a bit of a dark horse, isn't he? Mm, mm. He's a fucking stealthy dude.
So yeah, now it will be a four round tournament today. 99% sure. I reckon we'll see a good spread. Big Daz will be there.
Awesome.
Yeah, what kind of spread do you think? I don't know.
It's early in the morning. You know what I'm like.
I love it. Well, you know, I got my Merkin on. I'm making sure I'm prepared.
So. Good one.
Yeah.
So I painted up my Salthicians.
Oh, nice.
So I've got Grace and Benny in my bag.
Benny?
Yeah. I don't know. I'm not necessarily... like, I like Benny, but I think he suffers from the problem of being in Union, really. Mm. There's so much good shit.
And I haven't played him, but he looks like he suffers from fighting with the Harry slot. So to
yeah,
speak.
Yeah.
And there's a few things that he's got better than Harry, but there's a few things I go, I really like them on Harry. Rising Anger, the high attack when you need it, Goad.
Goad, Molotov. Molotov. Harry's just like a toolbox.
A bit more controlling. I can see Benny being a soak in that you just keep them in there kind of thing. But I don't know. I think needs some gameplay to kind of work him out.
Attack 6, momentous KD on 4, though.
Yeah.
So
7 and KD on 3 is better.
I do like his aura a lot.
Yeah.
I do like his aura a lot. I can see some jank shit coming off with that. Like, the obvious application is Red Fury with Rage.
Yeah.
And on my mark with Blackheart.
So your Red Fury with Rage, or it basically threat extends how far you can get the Red Fury out. And Benny's going to be in the mix, right? so generally someone else can be punching or in that mix. But generally, don't you want Rage in there anyway?
Well, Rage is funny in that, like, you don't want to commit him too early.
Ah, okay.
So he does like to hang back a bit and wait for the opportune moment. So Benny can be quite useful in terms of, I guess, setting up a later activation for Rage.
So it helps time that better, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can see that, absolutely. What about Grace? I looked at a card and went, that is amazing.
Man, I've been talking to Beaston about this. I really like Grace. I really like her. Like, I love that +2/+2 move.
Yeah.
I love the fact that models within her aura become the origin point for her character plays.
Yeah.
So that can be, like, kind of an interesting, I guess, distraction game. You don't necessarily see where it's coming from sometimes. I like the heal. I like the removal of AoE.
Yeah, that's a big fuck you to smoke, actually. That's obviously something I'll be looking out for today.
I like the fact that you can situationally put 5 influence on it.
Yeah, and get work done. And how often with a striker or someone you're trying to score a goal with, you just run out of that one influence that you need because you have to make that one extra attack.
So now, like in a certain set of circumstances, she's now an 8/10 move once she puts quick foot on herself with 3 to go.
So she can get the charge plus the shot off.
Yeah, tackle dodge. So, yeah. I don't know, I like her. You know, I can see her being quite useful in both a fighting lineup and a scoring lineup.
She really enables Mist, and I know it might be a bit of a win more situation, but Mist gets back up to what Mist used to be in terms of threat extension.
Well, actually, if he starts within...
Yeah,
you know, more. He's even further.
Yeah, which is awesome. So, yeah, I can see some pretty cool applications there.
Yeah, Mist got good again. He was never bad.
No, Mist was never bad. I love that. How many models, like, after Season 2 did we turn around and go, oh, man, they're just not as good or whatever? And, like, I've come around to Obby again. It's like, man, I still fucking hate facing that guy.
Yeah, he's the worst.
Yeah. Like, I played... Jared the other day, and he just same old tricks. You can't leave the ball on anyone. You can't. He's just going to drag someone in, crowd the fuck out of
him. And now he's got access to fucking tooled up Cosset.
Yeah.
So he's got the 1-2 punch. He's got the setup and the kill.
Yeah, it's pretty hard to not stay within 18 inches of him too to drag you in and you know, so there's so many.
Yeah, he was always a hard matchup. I don't think that's changed.
And this is the thing. Everyone talks about how Shark's big at the moment. No one can beat Shark. Well, fuck. Some people just need to start playing Obby again because he's the straight counter to Shark. He just fucks Shark up.
Yep.
Drags him in or Puppet Masters the ball away and plays the Siren trick better into that Siren lineup, with Shark.
So yeah.
I reckon as soon as more people start playing Obby a bit more, then you're going to see less Shark.
And he's still got that 5-7 stat. 5-7 influence stat. Like, pretty sure that's right. I haven't played him for a while.
Well, he basically, he still can have his, early turn or late turn, then early turn. And if you've got the crowds up, and this is what Jared did to me, you beat someone down, you then do a bit of control work with someone else.
And memory is like his equivalent tax 6 now. So it takes a lot more finesse, but by dodging memory around to the right spots, Obby effectively gets his tack 6, plus he gets tooled up, and he's hitting that momentous 2/3. He's just wrecking shit.
It's surprising.
Even if he's hitting the 1, he's still going to take somebody down.
Mm.
14 damage output.
Kills most models.
Yeah, in a bad set of circumstances.
Yeah. I mean, you don't get the momentum, so you're legendary, and you still get some momentum. Like,
it's
still good.
Yep.
Yeah, I like that. I mean, there's a few models like that that I think Fillet's still pretty good.
Yeah, well, Fillet is just like Fillet.
Yeah.
Shits.
I did hear an interesting conversation the other day about her where, when you're loading her up and if you can kill her, kill her influence, it's not just the 6 that's on her, it's the, other things you've put on her to, add to her defense and that.
Yeah, I think that was singled out talking about that, weren't they?
Yep.
Bunch of thieves.
Yeah. Told you.
Call us the convicts. Fuck me.
Jesus. We'll send them over here. Actually, to be honest, after the election results, we're actually not sure what's going to happen there, but they might want to be over here.
Yes.
Yeah, Brexit. It's all going downhill.
She's Theresa May's a class act, isn't she?
Fuck me. How good is their electoral system when they all have to line up against candidates they're going against in their constituents?
Yep.
And the dude that looked like Ned Kelly that was standing next to her, Did you see that?
I haven't. Glorious.
Theresa May having to line up against a guy with a massive bucket on his head.
Excellent.
Fucking glorious. I think we should have that in our system.
No, we've just... We've got two fucking robot parties and a bunch of racists.
Yeah, basically.
Australia.
love it. So... What lineups do you reckon we'll be seeing? Obviously, Big Daz.
Daz is on Blackheart, man. I put him onto it.
I saw he painted Benny last night. He's given away his tech.
I'm thinking I might play some seasoned brisket today.
Nice.
Just for shits and giggles.
Well, game ends pretty quick then, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Go, or not, and game's over.
Yeah. But yeah, Daz will play Blackheart or Rage. I don't know if Timmy's playing today.
Is Timmy running it, or...
I don't know.
He'll be there.
I don't know, man. Didn't you... You made him pretty sad last time.
I did. Well, he forgot Gluttonous Mass on Compound. Yeah, he was a sad panda after that.
If Sean is playing, he'll probably play Engineers or Butchers.
Yep. What did he play? He played Butchers at the last one, didn't he?
Yeah, he played Engies.
Engies.
Played Pin Vice Engies.
Nice one.
Yeah.
I didn't play him at that. There'll be, well, I think it was Cruis, the Brewers player, will probably be there, I'm guessing.
Ugh, Brewers.
Yeah. And he's pretty good at them too, so that's always a good challenge. It'll be a good spread of field, I reckon.
Yep. There'll probably be a fish or two.
Lance plays fish.
Fucking
I'm pretty
fish.
Sure he'll be there doing shark things to people.
Fish. Fish are dirty.
HR fish positive.
Yeah. Well, you play Alchemist, so.
Yeah, I know. I'm
play Union.
I'm worse.
We're all part of the problem here.
Yeah. So, no, I love how there's just
a moment of silence.
We reflect on how bad people we are. Yeah, that's basically it.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I'm just keen to get some games in. Like, I have been kind of busy all week, and I haven't really had a chance to play many games. I went up to Blackwood the other night. It was like two dudes there, they were deep in a game, so I didn't get a game there.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so four games on the weekend, man, that works out pretty well for me.
Yeah, me too. Like, I didn't go to Blackwood, I took the boys to the Socceroos, got to see a glorious football match. I was happy, then sad, then happy, then sad, then happy, because we scored the last goal and we won.
But the Saudis weren't too happy.
That was, man, like, huge tangent here, but the way they fucking play the game, and you can actually liken this to the way you play Guild Ball as well. Every time they got level with us, because they just wanted to draw,
mm-hmm.
they slowed down, every throw-in took longer, and I'm just like, really? If we get ahead again, you're burning your own clock.
Well, I think the forums and Twitter have determined this week that killing the ball is a negative play experience.
Yes.
So, fuck the Saudis.
There's a direct relationship there. Well, it still doesn't qualify us. We've got two more matches, and I think we've got to win them both, preferably. One against Japan.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, it should be good.
Man, Japan.
Nah, man. It's just, I love football, soccer, whatever you want to call it. It's so good.
Probably call it football.
It is football. Well, you know, we are appealing. Well, I don't know. We appeal to the American market. You know, it's Major League Soccer over there, isn't it?
Are you saying this podcast appeals to the American market? Or?
Well, maybe. Or just
I'm pretty sure it doesn't.
Offends them.
I think we've basically alienated most of the English-speaking world.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
That's fair enough.
I'm fine with it, actually.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Are you fine with that the Worlds is being held in Chicago?
I can understand the reasoning for it. I think that's probably Steamforged's biggest market at the moment.
Do you think, and I've had this chat with Andrew from Singled Out.
You're still talking to Andrew?
Yeah. Through Alois.
Oh, good.
Yeah,
good.
Yeah.
Just get it all in writing.
Yeah, absolutely. It is. He's about that hopefully it won't be there again next year, or that they might move it back and forth, and, you know, it might be a timing thing this year. I completely understand it being there, but I would be disappointed if it's there consistently in the US. Nothing against the US. Well, actually, everything against them. But
Trump's America.
Trump's America, yeah. I just like the idea of it being in the UK. You know, the home of Guild Ball.
Yeah, I mean, I don't really give a shit. I mean, I understand that reasoning. If they shift it back to the UK, that's great. You know, I think rotating it around would be good. I doubt it will be in Australia anytime soon.
No, we need a few more registrations to get to that. Yeah. I think we're still under 20.
Yeah, fucking.
And three. Above 10, so I don't know what that number is. It's not fantastic, though.
Three guys on a blue heeler. Yeah. It just doesn't cut it. It doesn't cut it for an international event.
No, no. And I'm not sure they're going to chuck us a Giblin either.
No.
Yeah. We'll keep angling for
it. Fuck me, that Giblin.
Oh.
Does look good on camera,
yeah,
doesn't he?
Have you seen the way his teeth just gleam?
Oh,
it's so shiny.
I always get lost in his eyes. That Giblin.
Those greedy eyes.
Yeah. Tell you what.
That would be fantastic if they sent someone over.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. I won't hold my breath.
No, no. Look, yeah, absolutely. We're not the biggest market. We'll be awesome. I'm looking forward to Nats. And I think that's why, you know, I wanted to take the Alkies today, is to just get a bit of practice in. We don't get heaps of tournaments. Yep. This will probably be one of our last ones before Nationals in a couple of months. So,
fuck. It's like, what, June already?
Yeah,
we're halfway through June.
Yeah, and so it's end of August, isn't it? So,
yeah.
Which is cool.
Yeah.
But yeah, I reckon time to knuckle down and work out your starting 10, and then yes.
Well, I was talking about taking Hunters to Nationals, and then I played them heaps, and I'm like, I don't know that I can do it with these guys. And then I mentioned it to both Jared and Beeston, and they're like, yeah, no, we can't let friends, don't let friends take Hunters. Which fucking sucks, man, because I love Hunters.
Yeah, they're awesome. They're awesome. Yeah. I don't think that they're shit. I think they're just, you know, not probably A tier or S tier.
Yeah.
You know, they're definitely good.
Also, if you're on a clock, they can require a lot of deep thinking to get to the optimal result. That, you know, when your time is limited, you probably want to try and smash it out as quickly as you can.
That's why I also do it to the scoring side. So it's a quick game. Either way, yeah. It's a quick game and it's over.
Yeah.
Yeah, Alkies can do that. I like a side that can switch it up, and you probably do this when I know you do this with Union, where you can just then switch up for beating if you need to, but you can ping through goals like no one's
like business. Nothing else.
Yeah.
Well, that's what I love about Union, just the depth of the roster pretty much lets you play your optimal matchup. You know, even if you approach it on a one captain basis, like my preference would be towards Blackheart, but you can build him pretty much however you want.
Mm. I was looking at the flip side of that, so because I haven't played Season Brisket yet, I've got it there, I haven't painted it, but I want to smash her out probably after Nationals.
Yeah.
Play her for a bit, and just playing a beta side with her as the super solo
striker.
Yeah, because you can load her up when you need to. She's got insane like threat levels.
Yep.
You know, with legendary and all the other bits and pieces. You can guarantee she's going to get at least one goal, probably two.
Yep.
And then you just spend the rest of the day just scrumming people up. I think it's almost a mistake, and I haven't played this, so I don't know. This is just my opinion. To skew to a heavy goal scoring team with her, like I reckon you could put too many goal scorers in the side.
Yeah.
Whereas maybe one other, like a Mist or a Grace, even like a Grace that can do a bit of everything.
Yeah.
Yeah, might be the way to go.
Well, I guess that my only criticism of her as a beater is that she lacks the same kind of tools that both Blackheart and Rage have. So Rage obviously has, you know, Bloody Coin and is legendary. So you've got damage efficiency there. And Blackheart can throw out Butchery or take Rage, and you've got damage efficiency there.
So you kill quicker.
So I think they switch up. Like,
yeah.
Blackheart probably plays the optimal 2-2.
Yeah.
Which is why I tend towards him, but, you know. It's all valid, man. You can build however you fucking want.
Exactly.
I haven't really tested out Brisket that much. I've played a few games with her.
Oh, she's good. But I think everyone's coming around to your Blackheart love.
Yeah.
6 months ago, you
were wasn't the first, but I'm certainly the worst.
Oh, I love it.
Yeah. No, it's good to see people sort of go, actually, you know what? His innate abilities kind of make him suitable.
Mm.
You know, 2-inch melee, shadow like. Access to Butchery.
Well, 2-inch melee is a huge one. And in that interview with James Long that Singled Out did, they talked about that in the final, where the opposition player didn't kind of think what he was doing in terms of the melee ranges.
Yep.
Came up against a 4-2-inch melee side with unpredictables up the wazoo.
Yep.
And only had Boar.
Yep.
And all of a sudden, like, he's in a world of fucking trouble there. Because as long as the Alki, you know, James stays apart, he can't dodge off a model onto another model.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was always going to be tough. So I think people are starting to see the value in 2-inch melee and what they can kind of bring.
It's so powerful.
In a least chicken kind of situation.
Man, Deno was talking about this all the way back in Season 1, though. You know, that 2-inch melee being one of the strongest things in the game. mean, I can't see any world where that doesn't apply.
Yeah. So then, Thresher with 3-inch melee is just fucking gross then?
I've been Threshered.
Oh, really?
It's not, like, it's not great, but I respect it. I really want to play farmers. They look awesome.
I want Denno to paint my farmers for me. Might cost me a little bit, though.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know that Denno is that way inclined these days. Said he was painting up a Hunter's team or something on Twitter.
His painting's pretty awesome, though.
Yeah, he's getting good. Mm. It's never bad.
It's never bad. The speed at which he does it, that's what blows me away. I saw him post on his Twitter feed the other night about some little chibi stole it, like one of those board games that...
Oh, Arcadia Quest.
Yeah, and he's smashing them out an hour a model.
Fuck.
And I'm just I could do it in that time. Doesn't look anything fucking like yours, though.
Ever since he started up with the meth, he's just been a monster.
Well, it's amazing, 24-hour usable hours in a day, what you can get done.
Yeah, it's true. That's true. And he's still finding time to shitpost. Yeah. What a guy.
I love that guy.
I guess we come back to talk about how the day went.
Yeah, we will.
It might be a longer conversation than this intro.
It will be. We'll go through the matches, probably, you know, play-by-play. There'll definitely be some drivel and some drawl in there. I'll talk about how I missed a 5-dice shot at goal, I'm sure, at some point.
Yeah.
But hopefully, you know, I scored a goal with my mascot as well.
I'm going to burn a Yevle goat and just hope for the best.
Yes. Brilliant.
All right.
Let's do it.
Welcome back, Campbell.
Thank you for welcoming me back.
That was a kind of a short but long day.
It was. We did have a few intermissions in between the playing, but I thought it was pretty good. Enjoy
group
the day.
North. I do like going to Group North. I enjoyed that they had a canteen fully stocked and delicious potato and leek soup for lunch.
Ah, you grandmared it up, did you?
I did, man.
Nice.
I did.
Shit, is it past your bedtime then?
Almost.
Well past 4 o'clock.
I just got to take my NyQuil and my blood pressure tablets. And, crank one out to geriatric porn and then I'm all good to sleep.
Yep. Man, that was a good day. Shout out to Timmy, the legend pundit, for running it, and Daryl and Sean, I think, supplying all the bits and pieces. Turned out to be a bit smaller than we thought it was going to be, or they thought it was going to be, but still a three-round event. Got to smash out some games.
Yeah, I had a good time.
Indeed. How good a time did you have, Dave?
I had...
A non-losing time?
I had 3 games, 3 wins.
Nice.
Yep, so I'm pretty happy with that.
Always the way to play.
Got another little gold die.
Nice.
I do like them.
I do find you kind of want to go for the set, so you know, now I'm kind of... I don't know, I need a bronze and I need a couple of those like painting ones. Maybe I'm just going to paint better.
Yes. Mm. It's incentive. Mm. They do look good. And I like those Steamforge price packs. I think they're nice.
That's sweet.
They're good fun. How did your games go, Campbell?
Yeah, pretty good. So I went 2-1. Pretty good interactions. I chose to go with the Engies in the end, actually. After all the smoke talk, I wanted to... There were a couple of newer guys and a couple of guys that hadn't played as much. So I didn't want to... You know, bust out the Alkies, and there was already another Alkies player there. So, round one, NGs, I just played pure guild pin vice action. I played against Sean, who was playing some fish, and he got to witness the Colossus kick off, and then he put the ball too close in the middle, and Colossus came in, tackle pushed, scored a goal.
Boom.
So I think from memory, he hadn't played Shark that many times, so. I got 3 goals relatively quickly, not pretty quickly. Smashed that one out. Had a bit of time to just relax.
Yeah.
How about yourself, round one?
Round one, I got matched up against Michael, who was playing Smoke Alchemists. And I know I said I was going to play Brisket, but I feel that this is definitely a Blackheart matchup.
Yeah.
And, I mean, he's sort of getting back into the game after being out for a while. And... it ended up 12-4. He did miss a goal with smoke, which probably should have made the game either 12-6 or 12-8.
Yep.
But 2-2. Blackheart scored a goal to finish it off. Got a goal with Avarice and Greed. Got a couple of takeouts. Yeah, Rage was my MVP, actually. He got a charge off into Vet Cat. And just...
How many dice did you roll?
I think it was like 10, 12, probably 13 dice charge. Jeez, yeah, nice. Just made work.
And when you're rapping and then bleed and then all the...
Yeah, it's a downside of Vet Cat.
Mm.
You know, you put him up too far, he's just going to... He's a momentum farm.
Mm. I found that's interesting you say that. I found that with Colossus. He, whilst he's great for that turn one shenanigans, he did become a farm in my second and third games, which sometimes I don't mind because it means they're just chewing on him for a while. But I think it did cost me a few roll-offs for turns. So.
Yeah. Well, I think the other thing is if you provide your opponent with a farm as you're playing Smoke, what that basically means is they've got all the momentum they need to counter your game, so they're clearing conditions, they're healing, you know, you can never get ahead far enough to optimally trigger Smoke's Legendary. So that's certainly how it rolled out. I mean, Mike's not a bad player, he just kind of needs to get back in the swing of it, you know, play a bit more.
Coming up. Yeah. So round two, who did I get in round two? Big Daz! And to be fair, I reckon he just about had me by all rights, barring a positional... I wouldn't say mistake, he just didn't think through what was going to then potentially happen. But he played a shooty kind of Union Blackheart list. So he put so Blackheart Coin, Mist, Decimate, Snakers, and Everest and Greed. And it bounced back and forth. We were actually doing a bit of killing of each other. I popped Greed off with a Vet Velocity. She actually gets a bit of work done with a couple of crowds and a tooled up.
Yeah. She did like TAC 7 version with tooled up.
Yeah, she's not bad. She's okay.
Yep.
And you know, can only have 5 column playbook and has 3 damage at the top. Yeah. So, you know, tooled up, you can get 4 damage, get a few like an overclocked error to get greed just to make sure I could do it.
Yep.
It bounced back and forth early on because I've got access to the Blast Earth. If I see a mascot I can take out, often I do it. This came into play later in the game where I then managed to kill the mascot again and put me up enough points. I think it put me on 10.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, the interaction at the end where he went to 8, I was on 10. He had Snakeskin clone Nimble off to one side, but didn't have her, I think, 16. She's got to be within the goal to be scoring.
Right.
Would have been able to walk up and score, and I had no counter to it. But I was winning the momentum race, so I was going to come back in first. I basically put all my eggs in one basket. I pin vice. I'd kill Greed. Greed came back on. Pin vice does the mechanical heart to ratchet plus deletion, then controllers him.
Yep.
He then tools himself up. Greed comes back on with only 4 health, so then I have a bonus timed 3 die shot, but one time only to nail it and kill him. And I did that because I knew I had to do it in one activation.
Wow.
So I rolled a 5, killed Greed, and that was game. So
it's like three dice to do it.
3 dice, so looking for a 5.
It's likely. The odds are. Yeah.
I think it was the right play. I looked at every other option. I couldn't. He was always going to go first, so he couldn't go with Snakeskin because I didn't leave any models close enough to generate momentum and score.
Yep.
So he had to go someone else, and that's where he had to back off with all his other models to try to take it off the table from Pinvice.
Yep.
And that was, he just...
But seriously, how good is that play, though, to even allow you to do it?
Yeah.
You know, like that linked activation that Pinvice has on a stick is incredible. I get that it's expensive, but the fact that there's such a toolbox is, it's just really, really
good. Well, it opened up the ability to effectively double tool up someone.
Yep.
And then throw a 4 damage AOE.
Oh,
I didn't even realize it got Avarice as well. It was coming back on, but didn't even bother about him.
Yep.
Yeah, so...
That's awesome, man.
That was pretty cool, pretty janky. So won that one. How was your... I thought it was a pretty clever play.
So round two, I got a dude called Jay. Pretty sure that's his name.
Yep.
Nice guy. New to the game. So he got the pair down, unfortunately. I got the pair down.
Yep.
And he was playing Fillet Butchers, and I've played a lot of Fillet, so... Yeah. I think he was still kind of getting his head around the idea that, you know, when you go in with Fillet, you have to get your threat ranges exactly right. You have to get a base to base. You know, her greatest weakness is counterattacks. And
I think. Just countered and pushed
her off. Yeah, there was a few occasions where, like, you know, I won the moment. He his biggest mistake was running in Vedox at the start of the game,
yep.
just setting me up a momentum farm. I then, you know, start a second turn, go in with Harry, go crazy, finish off Vedox, then go in and boot Philip, push her so that she's engaged by both Mist and Harry, and then bonus time the next attack to get the knockdown. So she starts knockdown, and you know, and then she had to stand up, move into Harry. And I think that was a mistake. Like, why would you go after Harry when Mist is probably more reliable?
Yeah.
Harry
shoves her off.
She didn't get the knockdown, which was unlucky. But I counter attack anyway, get the double push. So that's her, you know, that's her activation over. So he burned basically four influence. Oh no! So one attack, then he does a pain circle, and then that's it. You know, so she doesn't do anything. So the whole game, she just wasn't getting the output that she needed, and
you don't get that high level of momentum which you can then use to counter attain. Yeah, absolutely.
So I got an Avarice and Greed goal. Yeah, and then I got a Vetox takeout. Oh no, I got a missed goal, Vetox takeout, Philip takeout, and a goal with Grace.
Nice.
Yeah.
So how'd you find her?
She's good. Interesting. I like the extra move. I like the 8-inch kick. I like the toolboxy nature that she has.
Plus two influence.
Yeah. You can load her up with like 5 and she'll get shit done. Well, you load her up with 3 and then she gets the extra 2.
Yeah.
She gets some shit done.
Did you find you were putting 1 or 2 on her and just then you accept that you're going to get another 2 when she starts?
Yeah, basically. Yeah, like nice. she either runs as a battery or she just, you know, runs with 1 and she can spin around and do stuff, pass balls. She's not a bad retrieval option.
1's pretty good though, because that's an even, yeah, it's par. You're not draining from anyone else anymore.
But I was playing Seasoned Brisket that second game because I hadn't played her much and I thought, okay, well, here's an opportunity to practice a bit. Brisky did not score a single goal, but she beat Face like a champ. Just like fucking rapping on her book when it's all set up.
Well, I guess, yeah, set up, singled out, knocked down, all the fun stuff.
But I look at that game as a real outlier. Like, it wasn't a good test of, you know, it was more like in the end we sat down, we had a chat, talked about what he could do better, and he put some of those tactics into effect in the last game of the tournament.
And almost pulled off the win, barring some horrendous clock pressure, which we all suffer from.
Indeed. So round 3, Campbell.
Yeah, I suffered from some clock pressure at the end. Look, that was... So Dave and I...
Sorry, you said clock.
Yeah, well, clocking, cock. The tables were a bit low, but I mean, that's all I can say.
Yeah, I thought I heard something knocking, but I couldn't... Like, it's an old building.
So round 3, we got paired up being the undefeated players, which is always awesome.
It's not getting boring at all.
No, we love playing each other. It's interesting that we didn't get the, you know, the round 2 pair up. So so I took obviously Pinvice. My team had Ratchet Hoist, Colossus, and I went for Compound this time. So I didn't play any normal velocity. Today I just wanted to try out Compound, kind of see what he would do, and I thought I could basically take off that first turn Everest and Greed goal off the table.
Yep.
Which it did, in terms of I don't think you allocated as much to him knowing that you probably wouldn't go for it.
Yeah.
But it doesn't take goals from other players off the table. So yeah, no, it was a good game. I think we went back and forth. I horrendously ballsed up a Pinvice Legendary. Went for the first pass, missed that. Hoist snapped it, and my salvage effort was I could have gone up with Hoist in the next activation and gone for, you know, ping pong around, go for the goal. I chose not to. Maybe that was a mistake. Maybe I needed a goal earlier because we basically got into a grind, and all I did was use the legendary to generate momentum to win turn 2.
I really think that if you're going to use the legendary, you want to get at least 4 points out of it.
Yeah. Yeah, so turn 2, you'd come in with me.
Because you would have won the momentum race anyway.
Yeah, it's a fair... Well, you still had Blackheart. You go last.
Blackheart with 4 on him, though.
Yeah, I suppose. Yeah. No, it would have been interesting.
Maybe. It would have been close.
So, yeah, I didn't. I chose to kill Miss top of 2 and then try to get the ball back to then set up a goal later, which you then obviously stifled quite well. And it went back and forth quite a bit. We both got to 2 kills quickly. You killed Pinvice.
Mm-hmm.
But it was an interesting kind of back and forth where we really did posture for positions in that scrum.
Yeah. Yeah. So, it's one of those games where nothing happens for like ages and then everything happens.
And then all the points happen basically when we were both sub 5 minutes on our clock.
Yeah.
I end up, literally sub 5 minutes. I think I had 2 minutes on the board. I clocked out in the end, but just before that when I knew I was about to... you won turn with Blackheart making a kill goal, which put you
on 10. Yeah, that was pretty 10. Good. 6 points, yeah.
10, because you'd had the two takeouts at that point, which is awesome. I then get a snap back with a janky little compound goal, secret tech.
Yep.
Compound can score goals, even when he's crowded out.
Well, he got alternated.
He got alternated controlled because Pin Vice was being held down by Harry and I couldn't afford, like I wasn't within one to bounce off him.
Yep.
So, you know, it was a tidy little play. He got the goal. Then I clock out probably next activation.
Yeah.
Which is all cool.
And then I just keep passing activations back to you.
Exactly. So at that point, the game's over. We did chat about it after in terms of what we thought would happen. We still reckon I can't get 4 points before you get your two. So even if I win turn, I probably can't get the goal because you've kicked it off to one side. So
yeah, and kind of in the late part of the game, I had run green way off to the side of the board.
So. Yeah, so there wasn't a cheeky takeout or anything. So in the end, went down 12-8, but it was a really good thinking kind of game.
Yeah, it was awesome.
I enjoy those ones.
Yes, we laughed, we cried.
Yeah, held hands.
Held hands. Mm. Sang some songs.
So yeah, they then dished out the awards. Got another patch, got another dice. Yep. It's pretty cool.
So,
bit of practice for the next big tournament.
Man, I said I wasn't going to play Blackheart. I find it really hard not to play him though, because I find he just fixes so many problems. Like, he's so good into so many matchups.
Yeah, and if you need the movement or you need the extra damage, he can lay that out.
Yeah,
and you can see that from the other side of the table where sometimes you were. Like, you're thinking, oh, do I throw this down or do I throw that down? And then depending upon what other models haven't activated, oh, no, Butchery's a better option at this point. So, yeah, absolutely.
I wonder whether you hard cast Butchery sometimes. Because it's quite hard to hit at 4 on the playbook, depending on the model. I had a situation where I had, in one of my earlier games, I had Smoke on 8. And Blackheart with 6 influence, and I activated with him first. And I came up short, so really I was aiming to hit probably the non-momentous 2 on his book, you know, 4 times with a bit of redundancy built in. I just came short. He left her on 1. I'm wondering whether it would have been smarter to hard cast Butchery.
Hard cast Butchery for 2, then you go 2-2-2 all on the 1 column.
On the 1 column, that way you just,
Yeah, and I had a few situations like that where, as much as I don't like doing it, and I even did it with, I think, Rage or Mist at one point, where I deletion Pin Vice and I just have to take the 2 damage on the 1 column.
Yep.
Like, because I need the kill over the momentum at this point.
Yeah, it's so reliable.
Yeah. So any buff that puts your 1 column up to 2 or 3 is just fantastic.
And it's a 75% chance to hit it on Smoke, which is not bad. I think,
dice though.
More reliable than hitting it off the playbook, that's for sure. But then again, if you spike, it's kind of like, well, that's pretty good.
Yeah.
But it's a bit chancy.
Chancy, like shooting greed down from long range.
Oh.
Yeah.
Maybe what you do is you go for your first attack, you hope to hit that Mom 1, and generate a bit of momentum to bonus time it.
And you can work your way through the bonus times.
Yeah. You really, I don't know.
Good day all in all though.
I have fun.
Getting 3 games in on a weekend's pretty cool. I'm sure I'll pay for it when I get home. Kids will be nuts.
Oh man, I gotta take care of the missus tonight. The busted ankle.
Oh, that's not good.
Yeah.
Like every good man should.
Yeah, so next tournament, probably Nationals.
Yeah, we might maybe try to get some competitive clock games down at the club. I think that might be a good idea for anyone who's going. Because if Timmy and Daryl are both going to Nationals, I think we should do a bit of training.
Yeah. It's a shame Vassal doesn't have a clock feature.
I don't know how you do it.
Maybe.
Is there an online? Surely there'd be a chess clock you could pull up in a browser window next to it.
Yeah.
That two people could.
Yeah, that'd be good. That'd be good. Yes, indeed. Now I reckon I'll just hit the Vassal now that I've got over my hump and,
So all in Union at the moment?
I think it would make a lot of sense given that I've practiced them the most.
I think, and watching the way you play them, it's definitely your strongest guild at the moment by far.
There's just so many options. I can see why Bots likes them, even though he's all on fish at the moment. Well,
podcast is awesome.
Yes. Well, I think on that note, probably both tired.
Yeah, dial that in. Don't dribble on for too long.
Gibbering. Flaming shit on a stick.
And welcome back to Double Dodge Nights. Did you enjoy that one, Dave?
I did. I'm enjoying how the podcast is operating under a different moniker.
Mm.
You know, I feel that we've always sort of existed in the shadows, and now the name's right. So yeah. I'm feeling pretty good about it.
Yeah, well, for the 12th best Guild Ball podcast, we're doing all right. So
yeah, I feel that we're probably the 13th best.
13th, shit, we got pushed out again.
Damn it.
Oh, no.
How low can we go is the real question.
Yeah. Well, we try to scrape the bottom of the barrel. That's usually that raspy sound that we do at the end. don't make me hiccup again. I just got rid of that. Seriously.
Oh,
So we'd like to thank Daryl from NerdvarnaGamesSA.com. He's a legend. He supported the tournament that we just did the flaming shit on the stick with. Mm-hmm. His champ supports the Guild Ball industry or community in Australia. So anytime you've got a chance, jump on his site, buy some Guild Ball stuff, tell him we sent you, and then he gives us like minuscule discounts.
Sometimes he smiles when he takes our money.
Or he just smashes your gold trophy because it's got Midas on it. I've had that too.
Oh, yeah. I remember that.
Yeah.
Yeah, we love Daz. He's a good
guy. He is a champ, that guy. So.
Yeah. So any other news before we get the fuck on out of here?
No, nothing really.
Are we gonna throw up a Patreon page because it's flavor?
We are. We are. We're going to do Patreon. We're going to have various levels of reward, some of which will include stubby holders, widgets, and those kinds of things, and some will just include us screaming out or getting Timmy, our good mate, the world champ, to scream out, "It's a freaking bear." So there will be various levels. It should be out within a week or so, so I'll have better details then.
I guess we'll throw that up on Twitter so that people can do what they want. We don't expect your money. Anything you want to give us is gratefully received. But yeah, no bonus content because fuck it, man. we're not holding a gun to your head is what I'm trying to say.
Absolutely. Yeah. So our take on it is that there will be add-ons in terms of what you get for your various levels, and we'll continue to maybe, you know, do stubby holder, send you shit like that. But we do this for the love. We love the game, and we just want to, you know, talk about it because we think our shit sticks. And so, you know, if you want to help us out, it goes towards things like hosting costs, my AA meetings, things like that. So
keeps me in lube.
Well, another episode of Double Dodge Nights. You've let go.
Yep.